Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ah! Will you survive? Who will survive in a world of cages? Everyone survives every year. Not a lot of deaths in wrestling, notoriously. In the ring, anyway.
Come on.
To Tim and Joel, call it in the ring. I'm calling it in the ring. This is a laptop. My good camera is sitting adjacent to the laptop, but I forgot the cable for the good camera. Apparently,
no.
We're using Apple's garbage FaceTime. Shout out Apple. Your products are garbage.
It doesn't look so bad, does it?
Doesn't look that good.
No, that's also very true. It doesn't look that great. But you're here. You made it. You watched War Games. You watched all the wrestling.
Hey, it's not called War Games. It's called Survivor Series. It's a traditional Big Four pay-per-view. Give it some respect.
Yeah, I tried that one. I almost made it through with a straight face, too. It didn't really work so well. It's okay. It gave us such imagery as this.
Yeah.
That is still my favorite thing ever. Gimp Mask Finn.
I mean, yeah, I think someone below you pointed out Cobra Commander very clearly.
Yes, JD from Fight Game Media. I like JD.
Yeah.
I don't like it when JD gets things right while I'm trying to make a joke. Yeah. He's like, Gimp, let him have it.
It's okay. Your follow-up on that. Do you have that in the pipeline?
Gas mask Gimp?
Yeah, the gas mask Gimp. See, that saved the Gimp joke.
Nothing really saves the Gimp joke.
Oh, man. Finn Balor, midlife crisis. And then AJ Styles, who I'm just going to chalk up to him coming out and mocking Finn Balor with this business.
No, it was his New Japan
look. Oh, I don't care.
But with a nicer looking mask.
See, now you've ruined my much more interesting bit. Anyway.
I'm doing what they do at Fight Game Media.
Yeah, by telling me about New Japan? Leave me alone. Let me stay in ignorant bliss.
Oh, we got a lot of bliss to talk about. How about we get to that first? If you're here, leave a thumbs up. It's good to see you, chat. I like seeing you in the morning. It's so early. My God, it's so early. I'm so tired. Unless you're in the UK, then it's like 2 p.m. and you're probably just dragging yourself out of bed. Go ahead, leave a comment here if you're on Fightful Overbooked after hours. It'll be good to see all your comments. People say nice things. We appreciate it. And you can subscribe to us here at Fightful Overbooked. Wherever you get your podcasts, you can listen to us there. We got your super chats. If you're on youtube.com/FightfulOverbooked, go ahead. You can drop us a super chat, question statements read on the air. And we always appreciate your support because we're self-sufficient. We're self-funded. So viewers like you help us do new stuff, like a new episode of Strong Style that's coming soon. So keep your ears and your eyes open. And we got a Discord. Don't tell Sean Ross that, but it's in the link in the description. The Overbooked Discord is alive. It exists. Come and join us. Tim, where do you want to start? Where do you want to go? You want to go to Boston, or do you want to go do the AEW first? If you do AEW, it might take a while.
Well, it was a good episode of Dynamite. I did enjoy it. So I feel like
trolling?
Yeah. Of the fans? No, the best of seven.
Yeah, so the elite trolling.
The fans were excellent. That was, you know what? That was pretty funny. I don't know. It could just be because I think CM Punk's a jackass.
Well, that's fair.
I saw the whole narrative. He's coming back now.
Yes, that's right. We're doing it. You can't make fun of a man and then not expect him to come back. I don't think you can. I don't think you understand how petty wrestlers and wrestling can be.
Which, like, you know, it's incredibly petty. Like, I've seen some people criticizing his, like, EVP's doing this. I was like, it's fair. That's a fair criticism. It's pretty petty. Things that adults who are in charge of companies probably shouldn't do. But CM Punk do be a jackass, though. So it is pretty funny. Come back, don't come back. I don't give a crap. If he comes back, it gives me someone to legitimately boo.
Because
I really dislike him. So, like, real, fake, don't care. Seems like a jackass to me. I'll boo him. And it's good to have people to boo in wrestling.
I agree. I want to be able to boo someone wholeheartedly because I don't like them.
I can boo Austin Theory with my whole ass chest. It's fine. Right. It's funny.
Let's do it. We'll go back to Dynamite a little bit later. Let's talk about last night's Survivor Series War Games. I did a watch along on Overbooked at the last second. I was like, I got nothing going on. My baby's sleeping, so let's hang out. So had a bunch of people on. Thank you if you joined us. If you're in the chat, thank you. If you were one of the participants hanging out on screen, thank you. It was a very fun time. What do you think of the show overall? Did you enjoy War Games? Was it for you? Was it ups and downs like I felt? How do you feel?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously big ups and downs. Like there's yeah, there's one sore thumb sticking right in the middle there that kind of ruins everything. The women's War Game match was really good. Some really excellent, amazing high spots, obviously. Couple of like clunky bits, but nothing crazy. So I thought the War Games matches were good. Some in the middle matches that were not good. So let's talk.
So women's War Games match was a lot of fun.
Yes.
LOL Becky wins. But I didn't hate it. I don't know. Becky pinning Dakota Kai going. No,
I thought
that was good.
I thought
that cage
leg drop was good. Nice of them to put the platform there. For them to
they do that now. They have that little platform so they don't like stand precariously.
I think that's better. Yeah. I mean it takes away some of the edginess of it. What I didn't like was the KOD into the cage where it's like, yo, if you just did the regular KOD, I think that would have hurt more. And also Becky wouldn't have had to stand there for a long time waiting for that spot to finish so that she could do the big finishing spot, which that whole thing sucked.
There was also the like multi-woman superplex. They were all trying to set up to do it at the same time.
They always do this. I'm getting tired of it.
So they were trying to do it because they had the two rings, right? And again, like this isn't me nitpicking. It's just one of those things where the spot wasn't ready. So I actually have to credit Bianca Belair because she was like, all right, we're not ready. It's going to take way too long to set up. I'm just going to do my spot. And then one by one, the dominoes will fall.
Yeah.
It felt like they were obviously going for like all the women do it at the same time. And it would have been a really cool visual. But we ended up with, one after the other. It made the match flow a little bit better, too. If they had to sit there and just, like, keep punching each other just to get set up for the thing and just build to a spot, it wouldn't have worked. This time, I think they made the right call.
Yeah, it felt like some people in that match were just missing steps more, which caused kind of the drag down. Like, Alexa came in, and, like, she's been very good in the ring lately, but, like, the second she stepped in tonight or last night was not... Like she missed like every spot in her entrance sequence, which is like you'd think that would be planned and
something must have changed in the last little bit that made her just totally rethink her work right now. But either way, she came in, she looked good. The whole team looked good. I mean, I like learned too. It seems like they were trying to coordinate like a blue and orange type of thing. But they all got different shades of blue or different shades of orange, and it turned it like some look like rust and some look like light blue versus dark blue. I don't know, they were trying. I give them that. But overall, you know, well put together. And then Damage Control, I love Nikki Cross in this match. She was just the ultimate like I don't give a shit wrestler. She's like, I don't care, I'm just here to create havoc and chaos, and it was so good.
Like I said in your chat, full goblin mode, just like out immediately. Did they they changed the aesthetic of the trash can tops? She pulled them in, threw them all in, and they look almost like catering trays because they're so silly. Like they're kind of flattened out and just anyway.
I didn't take a better look at it. I didn't see that. I'm gonna take a good look and see if they changed.
Yeah. They look different. I don't even think there were handles on them, which is.
On the tops, I think there were. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay.
I gotta say, I love. Everyone was waiting for Io to bring back the trash can spot from her War Games match in NXT. I love that they did it in a way that turned it completely on its head.
Yeah.
They put the trash can on her, and Becky just beat the brakes off of her, and then did that leg drop. I loved it. It was so.
She watched the tape.
It, it was just smart, and it was a good way to do a callback and still make it look funny and make it look interesting. So I enjoyed the match overall. Listen, I see a lot of people saying like Damage Control suffers another loss, and they're right. Like in terms of being a larger team, a heel team, yeah, they should probably get one up once in a while. But the way that this story had to end was once you brought Becky back. There was no way that you could have Becky lose, even in a team environment, right?
I think they made the right call on who was going to win. I've said it once, like, stop like, I don't know. You're looking at damage control wrong. I mean, it sucks that the women's tag titles are still in that picture. That's, I think, the bigger issue in that they're not being booked kind of strong.
Yeah.
But I mean, maybe they see, hey, that's how they separate out of damage control down the line. Like, Bailey, we're the champions. You're what we keep losing when we're in matches with you, etc. Like, the story that I have pitched for this group is one of delusional self-confidence. Like, they are not correct in their arrogance. They're not winners. So
I can see it working out. We just got to make it more.
Yeah.
Wrestling. You got to hit us over the head with it a little bit more. But like, yeah. I see exactly where you're going, and I see what you're saying with like this delusional self-confidence that drives them to be in these big level matches and continuously lose. But there's a breaking point at some point, right?
Like, yeah. And like, that's where things, I'm not sure. So at some point now they got to get real angry about all these losses. And I don't know what they do with that though, because they're already the champions, which again, I don't think they ever needed to be strapped up. But they don't care about the women's tag titles. That still hasn't really changed.
It looks like it's so weird. It feels like the women's tag titles are like, they want it to mean something, but they have no idea what, how, when, or where.
You have to make women's tag teams for it to matter. So like, maybe work on that.
And every time you make them, you break them up, you know, a few weeks later, if you're in NXT, right? Cora Jade and Roxanne, Zoe Stark and Nikita Lyons.
Yeah, I saw the 1-6 Mafia was still fighting. So,
well, not anymore. Now they're fighting each other. So
yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. They're fighting each other. I was like, when did this happen? There's a reason I don't watch NXT anymore.
There's some things that they get right, but I get what you're saying. It's a bandwidth thing. Yeah, overall, so War Games match for the women, it was good. It's just a very strange, like, why kind of feeling. Why did we book it the way we did? But it, again, it made sense. You had Becky coming back. You couldn't have her lose on her way back. It just didn't make sense to do it that way. Unless you did it by nefarious means, if someone had turned on somebody, but there was no one to, it didn't make sense to turn anybody.
The only other way I would be seeing, like, Meechan get pinned. That would be my only other
avenue for it. She's someone who I think in the next little while they're going to have to define, but she's brand new, right?
Like, yeah.
Still trying to figure out her.
Eaten that pin is what I'm saying. Like, yeah, I think the people who came out of this looking the best is, well, Nikki Cross, like, highlight. Like, this is rebranding her in a good way. And obviously Becky, like.
Yeah. And like, having the women's champions be pinned is a bit of a questionable motive. Again, you keep having them lose these matches. It's very strange.
It's got to go somewhere.
It does. I don't know where it's going to go. And I guess we'll find out starting on Monday, or we won't. The Mania match for me has been Bianca and probably Charlotte. She even said that much in the press conference afterwards. And again, one thing I like about the WWE press conferences is that they're very obviously kayfabe vortex.
Yeah.
They're not, you know, this is again, like, not to do the AEW versus WWE thing, but like, they're the only ones that really do these post show wrestling press conferences. And like, the AEW ones, they're like trying to make it real, but it's still post show vortex of kayfabe. So they don't blur the lines very well. WWE, it's very much like, we have a host. It's Byron Saxton. Members of the media, ask your questions, but don't ask the wrong questions. and whatever, it's fine. You know what? The media played really well last night. They did a great job asking the questions that would have gotten the right answers. Like, the only non-kayfabe answer that came from a wrestler was Becky Lynch when she mentioned getting ready to do that the leg drop. And she's like, I went up there. I was scared, lads, she said. And she's like, I went up there and practice. Which, like, you'd never say that.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, in the moment, I was just like, you probably don't want to do that. But at least it's, like, a little bit of, like, reality in this press conference that is otherwise very much, like, steeped in kayfabe, which is fun.
I mean, I prefer kayfabe. But
so would I. So Bianca said, like, I want to beat all four horsewomen, and I want to main event night two of WrestleMania. Those are my goals. And she hasn't beaten Charlotte yet. And Becky's like, I want to win the Royal Rumble twice. So there's room for both of those things to exist. Becky.
Yeah. Like, that's the one I actually would enjoy. Charlotte versus Bianca at Mania, as long as it's not Charlotte wins the Rumble. That's all I'm asking.
And I think Charlotte more likely wins the Elimination Chamber, because Becky winning the Rumble means Becky can move over to SmackDown to challenge Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we had to watch Ronda Rousey versus Shotzi last night. So this was one of my favorite parts of this stupid watch along, not stupid, just the conversations we had. We talked about Rousey's gear. We don't need to do that here. But one thing that happened was we had people pop on and off throughout the night. Someone popped on at one point after we had a full 5-minute tirade about Ronda Rousey's gear issues. And the first thing they ask is like, can we talk about Ronda Rousey's gear? And it just broke us. And then the other thing that happened was at the beginning of the match, I said, I feel bad for Shotzi. Shotzi's going to lose this match. It's not going to be a good match. And she spent the afternoon on TV dedicating this match to her fathers who both passed away over the last year, her biological father and her stepdad, or who, the father that she considers the man who raised her. Yeah, they both passed away in the last year and a half. So she's like, this match is for you. And I'm like, you're dedicating this match to them, but you're not winning. So like the babyface intent here is completely thrown out the window and makes you look stupid. And then Chris Miller from Bleacher Report said to me on the show, he was like, it's okay because she's talking about her performance. And I said, but that's not the reason she should be doing this. She is a wrestler. She wants to win titles. We are supposed to think that the wrestler wants to win and will dedicate the victory, not the wrestler wants to perform in a title match and is dedicating the performance to her dads. The match was dog shit.
It was so bad. Like I
they made her look bad.
Yeah. Like
Ronda was god awful.
Everyone looked horrible. Like, and that's the thing. You could see when Shotzi and Shayna were doing things, it looked interesting and okay. But then the second that Ronda was involved, everything went right in the toilet.
There was a trust factor that was clearly lacking. Shotzi is reckless in a good way.
Yeah.
Her wrestling style is reckless. She's like Jody Threat. Remember, people are going to know Jody Threat because if you're on Fightful, you hear Sean talk about her all the time. We know her because we've seen her wrestle a dozen times. We know her style, and you saw it with the whole Athena conversation that ended up being probably the best thing to happen for Athena. Regardless, yeah. She has that Jody Threat style in that it's very careless, but it's very controlled. And that is the Shotzi way. Like, I saw her in a match with Brandi Lauren at Evolve that ended with Shotzi like diving through the ropes onto a pile of chairs on the outside, crashing and burning. That's the shit Shotzi does. What happened last night with that stupid DDT spot is just proof that like Ronda didn't want to take what could have been a very simple move if you had just trusted your opponent. But there
but Ronda clearly does. I don't. Yeah, man, I really just dislike Ronda. Like, I don't like her wrestling. I don't like her on the mic. Her look is garbage. Like, I just don't understand why someone with all that money can't like figure it out.
Like, you're like the training. Like,
usually when dumpster fire people get rich, they hire a stylist and consultant, and they end up looking pretty all right, even though they're dumpster fires for human beings. But like Ronda didn't. She has the worst gear I've ever seen, and just awful makeup, and just can't wrestle, can't talk, hate everything about it. Women's champion. Drives me nuts.
What's especially frustrating is that Ronda came in, had that tag match at WrestleMania 34, right? The one with, it was Stephanie and Triple H versus Kurt Angle, Ronda Rousey. Yeah. Everyone praised it because they had so much time to put it together. And also, like, she was working with the two men who have years of experience, and Stephanie McMahon, who's been in the business forever, and also like understands, you know, certain storytelling methods and like trying to get heat and things like that. So Ronda had the perfect tag partners.
Yeah.
In this particular match, really since she's come back, there's like a lack of interest. And we talked about it before, and it went away for a little bit because it felt like someone told her in the back after the Royal Rumble, like, how about you show a little bit of interest in the product? And then she started to show a little bit of interest, and then she won the title. And now it's like this, we're turning you heel, but turning you heel doesn't mean don't give a shit about the product again, because that's what you're doing. And it looks friggin' awful.
That's the thing. Like, I think every time she's told to be a heel, she's supposed to be like, oh, well, I don't really like wrestling, so maybe I'll channel that. And it's like, that's not really the right angle.
No, and you could have put the title on Ronda at the Rumble to get to the Becky storyline.
I don't want to watch that at all.
But that's like, that is the money story, right? We never saw the man versus Ronda one-on-one. But also, you couldn't get Ronda to give a
triple threat that I didn't enjoy either. So
it was like 1 a.m. on a Sunday night in Newark.
Yeah.
The point being, with Becky and Ronda, there's a better story that can happen. Becky's kind of got to talk some shit, though. And that's got to bring like Rhonda some out.
Real shit.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. She's going to have to fly off the handle a little bit and get Rhonda to actually care about it. Because right now, it feels like she's going through the motions. It feels like the Shotzi match just kind of happened to happen. It was not well.
Yeah, it was like, all right, well, we got to get a women's title defense on here. Throw it on.
And I hope to God that like someone in the back saw that this match was, you know, Shotzi's to break out from. And she did everything she could, but her dance partner just didn't give back. Not a good match. I expected more.
Yeah.
I don't even know what I expected. I just expected just more.
Once
that stupid DDT spot happened, I was like, oh, you clearly don't give a shit. And they do the dive spot on the outside to the four people, the four plants. And then the plant, they land and they just slowly recline onto the floor. I thought that was just funny and stupid at the same time.
Yeah.
Anyway, what else happened on this show? You had AJ Styles, Finn Balor. Good match, as expected.
Very good match. Yeah, I enjoyed it. Like, you know, solid.
Match for match sake.
Lengthy. You know, the AJ got a win is the big story that comes out of it. That's it. Yeah. AJ got a pay-per-view win.
His first pay-per-view win since like October 2019. Like COVID didn't exist, but this guy certainly did.
Yeah. And it's very funny because it's just going to be the same narrative about Finn Balor a few months from now. They're gonna be like, oh, Finn Balor hasn't won, and then he'll get a win. It's like, okay. It's like, so yeah, and you know what? Sometimes people just got to lose. And right now, midlife crisis Finn Balor can eat all the L's. As far as I'm concerned, feed him L's because especially, he's not eating anything else.
Especially if we're wearing this. You can't fit anything in your mouth if you're eating this.
Oh, exactly.
Looks so bad. What are you doing, Finn? What is this?
It looks like a gel capsule just placed over his face. Like some sort of alien, like reproductive sack.
Like, you think he could see out of it?
Yeah, I think it's transparent. I think it's dimmer. It's like wearing very purple sunglasses is what I imagine.
Wow. You think they're like all over sunglasses? They were all.
Yeah.
It's very strange. It's
very funny.
What else happened in this show?
Triple threat.
Yes.
Three independent threats in one.
Lashley, game. Seth, and Austin Theory. Austin Beyblade. What do you think of that entrance? That was the best. Someone screwed up so funny. It was so good.
It was pretty great.
Good match. I like the finish, quite honestly. I like the double master lock, the double
hurt lock.
Hurt lock, master lock. I think about him too much these days.
Yeah.
Chris Adonis. What do you think of the match? What do you think of Austin Theory winning his US championship at this show? What do you think?
I thought it was great. I actually really enjoyed this match. I have not a ton of notes. It showcased all three of their like very diverse skill sets. Bobby Lashley looked strong. He did strong guy stuff. Seth was frenetic. That was good. His blonde hair flying through the sky.
It's actually quite great. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that was fun. Austin Theory is a tool.
Yeah.
And he needs that title more than Seth needs that title. So I thought the finish made Seth not look like a punk.
And so, yeah, that's actually really good to know because Seth had been speared and it's a Bobby Lashley spear. So, like, it made sense having Theory roll over, get the pin. It was like a little underhanded. Worked. I enjoyed the match. I know a lot of people are shitting on Austin Theory. Here's the thing. And some people are just like, oh, why would you have him win now and like not have him fall from grace longer? Buddy, he's been falling from grace ever since Triple H took over at the end of the summer. Like, this has been his downfall.
He got his punishment.
Like, he gave it a punishment. It was like, we can't take the title off of you because of the Roman stuff. Like, you're just going to, no one's going to believe it. And having you lose the briefcase to Roman is just like obvious. You could have done the storyline where he goes all the way to Money in the Bank and then doesn't cash in. And he's the first guy to ever not cash in.
Look, his reward for the Money in the Bank briefcase, he traded in that briefcase and he got to get a character that isn't total garbage.
And that's it. They told him, grow your beard out.
Like,
they said, grow your beard out, make yourself look like you're not a friggin' weirdo. And then we're gonna lose Money in the Bank. We're just gonna, like, there's no reason for you to have it. We're gonna drop it, and then that'll be your rock bottom. You've already been treated like shit by everybody else in the company. Now you're going to lose a match for the U.S. Like, and it upset everybody. I understand that.
Well, and that's like
this is the best ascent he could have now.
Exactly. He's a tool. He's got a punchable face. Like, it is, this is how you book this guy. Like, you know, I think this is the right way to use him if we must use him. So,
and I see people in the chat talking about Mustafa Ali and getting a US title shot. Sure. They got to build Ali too, because guess what? They've spent the last month making him look like a total bitch too. And it doesn't look good. And it doesn't, it's never looked good. He doesn't come out and do anything. He comes out, talks, and then gets beat up. You got to do something more than just like sympathetic babyface. Cause if I'm him, I'm back to square one of feeling completely dejected, defeated, and disinterested.
Yeah, it's a shame. I feel like, I don't know. Ali's got some real character struggles. And it's a shame because he's so talented in the ring. And like, you see him pull out all of these awesome sequences in his training videos. Yeah. But his dance partners in WWE aren't doing that with him, it seems. So like, I don't see that in the ring.
Him, in theory, would probably have a really good set of matches. And they would probably do a lot of really fun stuff. Like you're talking about some of the stuff that he was training when he was with. I think he did a lot of training with Gringo Loco in Chicago. And that's great. Theory can keep up and do that stuff. You know, again, regardless of how you feel about him personally, as a wrestler, dude knows what he's doing.
Yeah, and I think that is probably the best way to help both men kind of move forward from here.
So. Yeah, exactly. Moving forward, men's war game match.
But we're already there. So few matches on this Survivor Series.
I mean, both of your war games matches were like 40 minutes. I know. What did you expect? What do you think of the 5-minute intervals? Does that do it for you, knowing that like nothing can happen until all people are in the ring, like all 10 people?
It's fine.
It is
a long time. I gotta tell you, like, yeah, I'm not sitting there on the edge of my seat through these matches. Like, I was cooking through most of the night, like, and then
in there.
So
the Bloodline win. And man, they do a lot of storytelling in this match.
I loved it. I really loved it. Like, this was, yeah, this is how you make it. Because they did the War Games match with the women's War Games match. Like, that was your standard fair one. You can't do the same thing. I don't want to see the same thing just with some dudes doing it. Like, this was what I wanted to see. Like, I really, really enjoyed this. And this felt like older wrestling to me when I was a kid watching wrestling, like where the story parts actually matter and feel like they've earned the climax that they've gotten to at the end of the night. Like, this stuff has been building for months, it feels like, to get here. Like, it is the one really, really good story WWE is telling right now.
And like, this match, KO. Perfect. Injecting KO into it with the Sammy storyline. They kind of, again, you see a pivot, you see something as well received as Sami Zayn and the Bloodline story and his feud with Jay and just the his infiltration of the Bloodline, and suddenly he's always wanted to be there. Now he's there and he still wants to be there, but they're also giving you those little hints of like, is he a stupid babyface, or is he starting to come around and realize that he could be the manipulator and he can get himself to the top of the line? What did you think of the finish of the match? We had him, you know, Sammy kicks KO in the balls, of course. So good. Does the Huluva kick. Doesn't kick him. He does beauty. The underhand. The thing.
Yeah, it's a good Huluva kick.
Saves Roman from getting pinned when Drew hit a claymore.
Grabs the ref's wrist. Yeah.
And they share a moment. Roman and Sammy lock eyes. They're going to kiss. They're going to make out. It's great. And then they build that sexual tension. And then here we go. KO comes in and we get to the end of the match. So
the two of them in all of this, like, just chills. Like, they're both like, Sammy did not know he was this good of an actor. Did not know, because
always
like,
knew it.
How genuine that like post-match stuff felt was incredible. Like, it was very, very, and this is so, it is so rare in wrestling that I find anything coming out of anybody's mouth even halfway believable. So like, when it happens and it's like actually in a story that's told correctly and the violence is like, you know, in there
violencing
to match it. Well, no, and it meets what the story requires. It's like, it's like, you know, I felt that way about Kevin Nash and Triple H doing the Hell in a Cell thing. Like, that felt like it built towards a good thing. Like, you know, it's not often that I feel like the build justifies the reactions that people give, and this felt really, really genuine and good. So
I talk about this a lot when it comes to wrestlers. you have the athletes, like the D1 athletes that came into wrestling because maybe it didn't work for them in football, volleyball, whatever they were doing.
Yeah.
And then you have the drama kids who also happen to be athletic. And that's Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn is the drama kid who has the penchant for storytelling. Kevin Owens, like, you can spot those people from a mile away, not only because their stories are a little tighter, but also because maybe their bodies aren't like super jacked up big guys and girls. They're the ones who like, they see wrestling as storytelling and art. They don't see it as a big bulked up fight fest.
And it's weird. I was going to say like, and look who's the most over. And it's like, okay, there's Bray Wyatt, right? You know, theater kid. Seth Rollins.
I'm kind of done with that one.
No kidding. But like, we can talk about SmackDown a little bit after. But like,
we'll talk about Bray specifically. But,
then I thought of Brock, and I was like, no. But he got over because of Heyman. Like Brock, that was a big like
because of Heyman, and also Brock didn't get it in his first run.
No. He didn't give a shit. Heyman helped him, and Heyman made him popular. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, now he gets the theater kid stuff, but only now. Like,
and he only gets it now because he realizes what his personal value is to wrestling.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, he wants to work with the smaller guys or the big stars. He wants to put over someone with his cachet, like using his cachet. Again, it's partly understanding where your value is and understanding what your strengths are and playing to them. Yeah. Brock, it worked. Again, when he came back in 2012, it was like, I am a star that's going to put over X, Y, and Z wrestler.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to be dominant in this way, in this way. I'm going to work with the Undertaker for 17 years.
I feel like the acting bit was a bit more massaged back in the day. Cause you'd get people like Kurt Angle in and he'd get like good. Like, so I don't know. Yeah. Like, I don't know what the disconnect is now. I feel like because they do these tryouts and they're so focused on gymnasts and college athletes that they're not like, they need more like acting coaches back there helping them.
The Kurt Angle thing is interesting because Kurt took to it like a duck to water, right? Yeah. Everyone says that his acting was dog shit, and the only way that he ever did it well was because he was placed with Vince and Triple H, and he was placed with the top rung, and also he was given his scripts word for word. He was given his promos.
Okay.
And he was,
and I mean, word and his character being the "you suck" guy certainly helps with that. So
like, 100%. Yeah. And the thing with Kurt was like, yeah, he found his comfort in telling a writer to like script me word for word. Not everyone does that. And then WWE got to a point, Vince got to a point where he wanted everyone scripted word for word. And it didn't matter like what your level of comfort was with scripts.
Yeah.
What we give you is what you're going to say. There are a lot of wrestlers who are like, give me the bullet points and I'll go out there and I'll make it shine. And that's something, again, that's a strength that AEW has with the right wrestlers. But again, that's another like,
yeah, tough. But then what keeps happening with AEW? Yeah. Is like, they do that for everyone, right? They give them the bullet points and they give them the improv. And like, some people are phenomenal at it and other people are so bad, but might not be aware that they're so bad. And then they get so upset when they don't get the push. And it's like, well, it's because you kind of suck. Like, watch what you're doing. Guess what? You got to spend hours stand. Like, you got to be a sim, man. You got to stand in front of your stupid mirror and practice your stuff. Like,
so this was something in like the territory days, or even like in the TV wrestling early days, when you would go to a studio and they would set you up in front of a camera and they tell you like, hey, we're going to Indianapolis March 3rd. We're going to be in Las Vegas September 10th. You're going to do your thing, like talk to the camera and pitch for tickets. And that's what they would do. They would put wrestlers, and the younger wrestlers were the smartest ones. Jericho would talk about this. Go into those TV days and they'd be long, boring days, but you get two things out of it. One, the opportunity to work in front of a camera. That is completely like lost on a lot of talent, how valuable that experience is. Number two, you're working with producers and former wrestlers who have stories to tell and a lot of knowledge to impart. And as a result, you get better. So guys like Mean Gene Okerlund would be there. You would have the Jim Rosses in the WWF. You'd have Michael Hayes. You'd have those guys and even the, you know, people from way back before then being able to impart knowledge that you maybe don't have available to you on the regular, and you're sitting around all day so you can chop it up. That doesn't really exist anymore.
Go to the studio and
chat it up.
Yeah. You can kind of feel its absence, right? Like it just feels like they're not building the charisma that they once had on the microphone.
It feels like with Triple H taking over on the creative end, there is a push to allow talent to be a little more vocal with how they feel when it comes to their comfort with promos.
Yeah.
Some are going to be that Kurt Angle, give me every word for word scripted so I learn the lines. And some are going to be like, give me the bullet points and I'll get it and I'll hit it every time. That, and there's a level of trust that comes with that as well, right? We just talked about that with AEW where, you know, if you do it to everyone and someone's not good at it, that person's going to get frustrated, and rightfully so. Yeah. It's a dance, but also like if you mess up too much, you can't be trusted. We're going to give you word for word what you're going to say. So all this to say, we got to get to Sami and Roman next, but now Sami and Roman are having a big hug fest and Jay is hugging Sami.
It felt good, but
I can't help but feel like the background of the story is like, who's going to turn on whom? It's a standoff now. Who is going to beat the shit out of whom at what point? Because you have the entire bloodline who's been leery of Sami the entire time, only Jay to Sammy's face. And now he hugged Jay hugged Sami last night. God, yeah. Words are hard at this hour. And then you've got Roman hugging Sami, but Sami being told, maybe you turn on him first by Kevin Owens. And now Kevin Owens is his oldest friend. So who's going to pull the trigger, proverbially speaking?
I don't know.
When are we doing Sami versus Roman? And it should not be at the Elimination Chamber. I'm telling you that now. Don't do it in Montreal. That's just, there's something so...
We've talked about this, and I think like having something go down in the Elimination Chamber could start to muddy the waters, and then we play it out over the next little bit. What's after Elimination Chamber? Rumble?
WrestleMania.
What?
Yeah. The Elimination Chamber is in February.
Oh, so that's a long time from now. Never mind.
We have from now until the Rumble. That's the next big event is the Rumble, and that's the end of January. We are now at the end of November. We have an entire month. And you know what? Christmas season, they kind of phone it in for a few weeks. So I don't expect anything. I expect big mid-card title matches. Like Gunther is going to have either Escobar or Ricochet. And if he has Ricochet, then there's going to be the Braun situation to deal with too. So that you got the Intercontinental Championship kind of like figured out through the rest of the year. The women's title, they got to sort out on both brands. But like the world title, they got to do something. And I think Sheamus is the guy that they're going to go with at least through into the new year.
And he's earned it, baby. This run.
Yeah. Yeah. Banger after banger after banger. Yeah. Yeah.
Not wrong. I don't know. Like, I don't know, because like, you know, Roman versus Sami at this point with that performance, I'm fine with that for WrestleMania, but I know that that's not a big ticket mover.
It's not. And that's the thing. There are so many people who would disagree with you, but I think
if you listen to those audiences though, like, yeah, Sami is the most over person in the world. So maybe it is Sami Roman Mania.
You do make a good point. I mean, Sami has absolutely found himself in a place where he's getting the most reaction he's gotten in years.
It's incredible how over he is. Like,
I don't know. It's not a question of whether or not I see it. I think it's a question of, is the story so much that the match doesn't live up to the story?
I was just about to say, if that match happens, they will overbook the hell out of it.
That's Sami the problem.
We'll have to fight off the entire bloodline one at a time with entrances as they come out to like,
someone said last night, the ultimate troll move would have been when Roman came out for his entrance for the War Games match, if they had his theme play, like when he was the last man to enter the match, if he just slowly saunters down the ring 20 minutes.
Yeah, that would have been funny.
The match begins now, and before he even gets in the ring, someone pins somebody else and that's it. And Roman's just like, all right, I guess that's it.
I don't know. I think that would be, you could put that on Mania and I would love that. I think that there's enough runway to keep telling the story as it is and build to a match at Mania that would be off the hook. That would be like, that would show some bold leadership. If you ask me, if Triple H could do that and Sami Zayn, the most non-Vince, like a Vince guy, like who Vince loved for the comedy bit, but like, you look at his body and his in-ring style, and that's not Vince's guy. Like, yeah. No way Vince would put him in a main event.
I still think that the play is KO and Sammy versus the Usos.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that's the more natural. Yeah. But
and they kind of teased it on SmackDown by using the tag titles as a prop in the little standoff that they had.
Yeah.
So I still see that as the play, and I don't know who's going to be Roman's opponent. A lot of people running to Cody.
Oh crap! I keep forgetting about Cody. Cody's winning a Rumble.
Can't forget about Cody. You never forget about Cody.
No. It's because I keep skipping the promo every time they play it, because they play it every show.
Oh, it's a Peacock thing. They play all the promos. It doesn't mean anything. Either way, good show. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the main event probably most of all.
Yeah. It was very, very good.
There's so much that my brain is like on fire with what's going to happen between now and WrestleMania.
I'm honestly just surrendering to the story with Sami Zayn and Roman right now. I'm just going to let what happens and actually be surprised. I'm not going to try to book it in my head too much, because like it just feels really well done. Like finally.
Doesn't I like often. That you said that, by the way. I really like that you said that, because we get way too invested sometimes in our own booking, or at least like trying to sort out where it's going to go. But no, letting it play out was a joke that we all used to make, but this is the first time in a very long time where we're all looking at it and being like, we can let it play out.
No, because this is good. Like most of the time when I'm trying to, when I'm like mentally booking something, it's to fix something that's boring as hell. Like,
yes.
Whereas this is not boring. So I'm fine to just watch it.
Absolutely. Where do you want to go next? You want to talk about AEW?
Dynamite!
Where were we? We were in Chicago.
Chicago. You couldn't forget. The crowd was that was the most active wrestling crowd I've seen in a while. Very
That's
nice.
Because Chicago loves AEW. They love
the so fans. Angry. It's great. I love it.
Regal in the ring doing exactly what I told you last week he was going to do. Yep. No MJF. He was just going to build that heat because
he's in a top Hollywood movie. It's garbage. I'm sure whatever he's on is absolute garbage.
He's doing the Kevin or the Von Erich movie.
Oh,
you know the Von Erichs?
Yeah, oh, okay. So it is a top Hollywood movie that I'm not going to watch because I don't.
Yeah. He's
Zac
playing
Efron with his roid belly and stuff.
Yeah. But he looks real good though. He looks a lot like Kevin. No, he's playing in that movie. So whatever. Good for him. Good for MJF.
It's less impressive to be in a movie when it's a movie about wrestling. Like it's like, yeah, I mean, what was the, we're not going to take it. What was that WCW one?
Ready to Rumble.
I'm ready to rumble. Yeah. It's like, that's not impressive.
I'm excited for Ready to Rumble 2. Whether it's going to be Ready to Rumble 2.
No.
R2. Anyway. No, Regal's out there. He talks. He's calling him Mr. Friedman now, which I like. Kind of an associate deal. Moxley comes out and Danielson come out. And so this is interesting. What do you think of Bryan Danielson being like, don't beat the shit out of my mentor, please?
I thought it was nice. I thought it was good. I really enjoyed the slap of the like, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry.
My bad.
Like, oh god, don't kill me. No, it made Mox look good, right? Like it was fun.
Yeah, and then Moxley afterwards, first of all, everyone's just like, Mox should be on vacation, but I guess not. Mox is gonna
He just loves to wrestle.
But I love that like whenever something goes awry or he has like a not so great promo, it's immediately just like vacation Mox. And other people are just like, or maybe he just had a rough day. either way, he's like, go run as fast as you can. Go as far as you want. And everyone just knowing the timing of War Games being this past Saturday and then Triple H tweeting out the War Games, you know, it's not the same without you, Regal. I love that kind of played into the fan speculation. It meant nothing, but as a little like aside, it was really cute. I liked it.
It was fun.
What else is going on? Keith Lee, Hager, he likes this hat. Did you like this match?
No, I really, really found it irritating, and commentary made it worse. Like just because they were told to tell this quote unquote story of the match.
House of Black came back in this match. That's really what.
Thank God. That was the, yeah, which was the like, okay, I'm willing to put up with this so that this happens. And then they just come and just beat up everyone. And I was like, yeah, this feels right. It's like, yeah, we're here to stop this nonsense. Everyone be sad.
The House of Lore is back.
Yeah, that was fun. We'll see if it goes anywhere this time.
There are trios now. There are trios titles. It has to go somewhere after this whole trios best of seven, right? It's got
for sure.
We'll get to that in a minute. Let's just run down the card as it happened. Ethan Page, Ricky Starks happened exactly as you and I talked about it.
Yeah, it was like textbook. It was good match. Like the story, like the story was fine, very suitable for its position on the card. Like
exactly. We're gonna do Ricky Starks versus MJF at Winter is Coming.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's gonna be a great match. It's not even about the winner being in doubt or you know anything like that, but it's just a really good match. And there's a lot of potential for Ricky Starks to break through having a solid match with MJF.
They've been heating him up well too. Like it feels like Ricky Starks has been like built naturally to slowly being more of a top tier star.
Yeah, absolutely. How do you feel about Jade and Bow Wow?
I saw the Twitter interaction. I was like, ah, crap. What are you doing? I was more amazed that Bow Wow still had people attending concerts.
As long as there's nostalgia, two songs. There are a lot of people who had two songs. Rick Astley is still like a huge star, and he's got.
Yeah, but why wouldn't you go to that concert? Like,
because people think that it's a good night out.
Concerts are like 2 hours, not one song's length. Like,
they're more than 2 hours once you factor in the rest of the night.
I don't understand people, man. Like, whatever. I don't give a crap about Bow Wow. Like, the fact that he's begging for a job is like the biggest indicator.
It's wrestling. Everyone's begging for a job.
Yeah, I don't need to see Brian Bow James? Wow. I don't need to see a lot of people on my wrestling. Like, I don't need to see Bow Wow, perhaps most of all.
Forget Bow Wow, who probably will wrap Jade down to the ring by the end of this thing. Smart Mark serves the papers and kicks out Kiara Hogan from the baddies. Yeah, it's fine.
It happened too suddenly. No undeserved advancement in the story as far as I'm concerned.
I feel like that's relevant to the conversation.
Was it good? Did you listen to his albums before you went? I don't know.
Anyway. Do you need to? Everyone's just waiting for the one song. The rest of the time, it's just a happening.
So it's just I'm 2 hours of them everyone in the room doing the do the thing face at like.
And then he waits until it's the encore. It's the Family Guy mod sequence again that I keep talking about. It
never ends.
Oh my goodness. Speaking of never ending, the best of seven, number two match. I enjoyed this. Listen.
I just very much enjoyed it. It was very fun.
They had everyone on the edge of their seats and they had all the trolling perfectly set up.
Like they're swearing at the Elite and then chanting "This is awesome" during the same match. Like it's very fun. Like good job. What felt weird this night though was commentary. Everyone felt like it was casual Wednesday. It was very loose in that commentary booth.
They were stepping all over each other. They were just cracking wise. It's loose and like so. I think about this often, and because I have a lot of time on my hands, because I'm alone a lot, Tim. I'm breaking down boxes in the basement of a condo and I'm thinking to myself, Michael Cole and Vince McMahon's really Michael Cole, because he's the guy in charge of commentary. His whole like feeling towards commentary was it's a bunch of your buddies getting together to watch wrestling and talk about it. And it's okay to make jokes. It's okay to crack.
Yeah.
It feels like sometimes the AEW team takes that and they bring it a little too far and they just kind of step all over each other and they make little jabs. And at one point Taz was like, I got to apologize to my
Tony Schiavone. That was like, the most awkward thing. Cause it was like, what?
Did Tony like go and block Taz on Twitter during an exchange? And Taz was like, oh, that's not nice. Like, what are we doing?
I mean, I don't know. On the one hand, like it's pretty weird. On the other, like it's nice to model good behavior, like good, decent, respectful behavior, like between people rather than doubling down and never apologizing for any misstep. Like,
right.
So I don't know.
But the Rick Astley concert, by the way, it was a big 80s and 90s tour.
Oh, see, that's different. That's not the same.
That's just a big cluster muck of old bands, nostalgia bands.
Yeah, that's like a day, right? Yeah. If it's like, but like, I don't know, a just Rick Astley concert sounds weird to me. I don't get it.
Well, if he's headlining a show, he ain't doing like an arena. He's doing like a local club.
Yeah.
He's playing the Bovine in Toronto, if you know, you know.
Oh, that would be weird.
Actually, I'd like to
see it. It's definitely the Elmo, man. Like, he'd be there.
Yeah, well, you get a cokehead. Anyway.
Watch out for them libel charges.
Seriously. So they do the GTS spot. They do the biting of the arm spot that everyone loved.
Yeah,
they did everything. And like, I love how everyone, you're of two mindsets. There's literally no in between, according to Twitter. Either the CM Punk is coming back, or the Dave Meltzer told me that CM Punk's camp is upset about this whole spot. What do you think of the match? What do you think of the trolling? Does it work for you? And like, or are you just over it at this point?
I don't know. Like, I enjoyed the match. I enjoyed the trolling because I'm aware of the other stuff and I was forced to be aware of it. It's still strange that AEW has not addressed it, and it made it difficult for commentary to deal with some of that trolling, because they were just like, oh yeah, he's making fun of the buckshot, was how Taz covered the buckshot flop.
Well, that was he was making fun of CM Punk, not being able to hit that buckshot
later. Yeah, but it was just like, yeah, he couldn't say CM Punk, so it was awkward and weird, and it's just like, I don't know, the whole thing was, I don't mind it. I don't mind the trolling. I don't know though. Like, it does feel weird. It's fine. It's fine, is how I feel about it, I guess.
The one thing that feels especially weird to me is just that. Does it take away from this best of seven match? Does it take away from Death Triangle and their storyline that's kind of happening? Because
I'm gonna say no, because they still lost the Penta second hammer spot was funny to me.
Yes.
And that's the thing. Like, they still lost. Like, they're hamming it up and they're distracted and they ate the L because of it. Like, ultimately, I don't think it takes away from Death Triangle. It's also a best of goddamn seven. So like, if you can take away from it a little bit, it's fine. Like, I don't need to be present. You need. Yeah. Yeah. Like,
multiple stories can exist in a best of seven.
Like, the first match was the return of the Elite, right? That's the first match. This second match is like, let's make fun of CM Punk in Chicago. Fine. Third match, maybe a roll up, maybe a quick short loss by Death Triangle. Like, the Elite ekes out a win, and right, then you can start to slowly like make it, you know, you can tell other stories. It's fine. Each match has to have its own like special thing, or else this gets stale. So far they've done a good job, but it's only been two matches, so
yeah. And again, I don't know if it'll go seven. Feels like traditionally it would, but who knows. You can easily have it go four and then have the Elite go absolutely bonkers over the idea that they lost four in a row.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, maybe it's because we're being silly and reveling in the fan attention rather than paying attention to the actual ring work.
It's time for the serious Elites. That sounds awful.
They announced Matt and Nick praying constantly.
That's true. They announced that Thunder Rosa is officially not the women's
champion. Tremendous applause.
Oh boy.
I felt bad for her there, but it's just like, yeah, I mean, yeah, though.
I think my favorite part, so they announced that Jamie Hayter is the official AEW women's champion and everyone's excited, and then they have to retcon the entire announcement because Tony read Twitter during the women's three-way tag to also include Tony Storm's reign as officially a women's champion.
Which is fine. That's the right thing to do.
It was the right thing to do. I had a good laugh. And Tony was like, oh, shit. All right. Tell him, Taz, tell him that Tony was a champion too. Otherwise, they'll get angry at me.
Yeah. Tony.
You know what? It's fine. I still don't love that, you know, Jamie Hayter is champion, still going to go to the Britt Baker match, and then it's still all going to end with having to do a Thunder Rosa match, because it's cyclical. It's just it's all the same groupings.
We still don't have like a timeline for that though. So
no, we don't.
It could be so far down the future. It could be a different partner.
She's talking about early 2023. Could be January, February. Who knows? But either way, like, I want Thunder Rosa to get well, and I want her to come back. Assuming that it's the right place for her to be in AEW.
Yep. Yeah. And that's the thing, you know, get healthy.
Three-way tag match, by the way.
It was not good. Sky Blue actually looked not great in her hometown.
Gosh. She had those great chucks on though, with the Chicago flag.
I don't care.
All right. Well then, the Acclaimed. Did you care about the Acclaimed thing with Jeff Jarrett and all them appearing afterwards?
Everyone's, I was like, hey, is this what Jeff Jarrett came back for, to mess with the tag teams a little bit? It was boring. It was fine. I didn't hate it.
Your Thanksgiving main event, Chris Jericho takes on Tomohiro Ishii. I know you love it when New Japan comes around, but this is your favorite New Japan wrestler.
Hey, I love this guy. He walks so slow. It's the best. Like anyone who walks that slow, dangerous.
That's true. Like, he is a dangerous man. What do you think? So the match,
he slapped the blood out of Jericho's tits. This was a good match. This was a very good match.
The combined age of these two men was 98.
Just old men slapping each other back and forth.
Old meaty men slapping meat.
So good. Just so many face slaps to kick it off. And then, yeah, like I said, slap the blood out of Jericho's titties.
Probably Jericho's best title defense since winning the Ring of Honor World Championship.
Big time, yeah.
And now, this is my favorite thing on Rampage. They had Claudio knocks out Jericho to end Dynamite. Then on Rampage, they decide that they're going to announce Jericho versus Claudio at Final Battle for the Ring of Honor World Championship. If Claudio loses, he has to join the Jericho Appreciation Society. I need Chris Jericho to win that. I've never said this in my life. I need Jericho to win that match because what I need is for him to take every single gimmick that Claudio had in WWE and just bring it back. Bring it back. Have Jericho team Claudio and Jake Hager together and have them do We the People on the stage. Have Oksana come back. Can we give Oksana a payday? Let's do that. Maybe have Claudio come out and yodel or be a football hooligan. I don't give a shit. Just do everything that they did with Cesaro. Get the bar. Have him come out and do the bar and wear the kilt. Do the whole thing. I need it so bad.
I'm just envisioning Jake Hager giving him his own stupid bucket hat and like fitting it on his head, and that'll make all of the stupid hat stuff just work for me. I'm fine. Put Claudio in a stupid hat.
Oh my God, Claudio in a stupid hat. I like this stupid hat with Jake Hager.
Yeah, there's gold there. Do it up.
I mean, unfortunately, I don't think that's what they're going to do.
It's not going to happen.
But what if they do? What if listen, they're not doing shit with Blackpool Combat Club right now. Mox and Danielson are
not much of a club, you ask me.
Yeah, they're kind of having some beef, and then you've got their lordship running away. Yuta's just like crying in the corner, mom, dad, stop fighting. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah. Claudio's in like Ring of Honor. Brother. Like
Claudio's a little brother going to Yuta being like, it's okay. We'll be fine. Mommy and daddy are just having a little bit of a disagreement. They'll come back around. Don't worry. I really need Claudio to like lose that match.
Yeah, we'll see.
Is there anything else from this week that we got to talk about? A boat.
I feel like something
SmackDown. Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, same thing. Pack did the same thing again. I thought we were past it.
No, we're not. We're not past it. Matt McCarthy, who used to write for WWE and has a wonderful podcast known as We Watch Wrestling, he tweeted out during SmackDown while he was watching the segment with Bray. I gotta find it. Hold on. Sorry, give me a sec. He was done with it. He hated this. He says, I can't stand Bray Wyatt. And then he tweets out, Bray, shut the fuck up already. I don't want to be violent. That's Bray.
I says, then why do you work violent?
And then top of his lungs, Matt's like, then why do you work at a wrestling company as a wrestler? What is this horseshit? And in that moment I was like, Matt's absolutely right.
It just hasn't gone anywhere.
It hasn't. And it needs to. And we've been sitting here for weeks being like, we can't keep playing lore and we can't keep playing the same hits every single week because that entrance gets longer and it feels longer every single time he comes out. The tour is over. Let's start doing something with Bray that's not just I come out and say something, Uncle Howdy comes and ends the segment and calls me a liar, and everything is back to square one all over again.
Like, and it's good. Like, something is happening kind of slowly in the background. It's just there's no reason for it to be going this slowly now where we're repeating the pre-work. Like, you're doing the same spot that you already did without advancing the story now. Like, I'm not the one who beat up LA Knight is the only important thing that happened in that segment. And it took so long. And it's like, we didn't even really need you to say that. You could have said that and we could have seen something else happen. Like,
they are going to have LA Knight come out and be like, I have video proof that it was you who did it. And then they're going to come out.
And it'll be in the NXT parking lot.
Or it's gonna be someone completely different. They're gonna do the stupid who ran over Roman or who dumped the stuff on Roman, and then Danielson
who hit Elias. Like,
well, like when they did it with Roman, Daniel Bryan comes out and he grabs a fake Rowan, and remember they pulled the button and it just looks like Trucker Rowan, and then they retcon it the next week like Trucker Rowan didn't exist, but meanwhile actually Rowan did it.
Yeah,
that's what they're gonna do here, yeah. And it's so stupid, and they need to. Just move on. Do something new with this Bray Wyatt. Just get to the match. Get to the fight. Get to the whatever you need to do.
You got to tell me who Uncle Howdy is at this point, because I'm starting to not care at all.
It's Bray. It's Bray. It's just
No, 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 no. Bray. That's what I mean. I don't mean like...
Yeah, yeah.
What is the purpose of Uncle Howdy? How did Uncle Howdy come to exist? Like, why... Like, what is he to him? Like, his conscience, it gets boring.
Again, like, he wore that mask on his debut.
Jiminy cricket-ass crap. Is it the same mask?
Yeah, it's the same mask.
Oh, then the proportions of it are really stupid.
Yeah, well, now they got to CGI the mask. I don't know what happened, but it's the same. I'm 99% sure it was the same style of mask.
Didn't that one have like a mask?
Oh, yeah, I guess it was kind of a little long. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, whereas the Uncle Howdy, I think, is face-fitted.
You're right. I was thinking, oh, you know what I was thinking of? Not the Uncle Howdy mask. The mask that Uncle Howdy wore on top of his mask was the same mask.
Yes, yeah.
When they debuted the Howdy Doody bullshit. That's what I'm thinking of. But yeah. The point is, like, you got to do something with it. And I know some people are going to be like, oh, it's going to be Taylor Rotunda, Bo Dallas. Sure.
Please don't hire Bo Dallas again.
They never lost him. But I just don't.
Didn't they fire his ass?
No, no one fired him. He went home and he was off. And
they fired him eventually. Like, he was sitting on the farm for like 2 years, and then they fired his ass. I'm telling you.
He's sitting on someone else's farm. it ain't his, I'll tell you that much. I'm pretty sure he was never. Oh, no, he was released April 2020.
Yeah. It was like it happened at the point when no one cared because he had been doing nothing for two full years.
He'd not been seen since like October. You're right. So he was released. Either way, if he's coming back, just get it over with.
Just don't.
Let's get out of here. I'm going to go outside and enjoy the rainy weather. Where can the people find you on the internet, Tim?
They can find me at Tim Stone, PETIMBSTONEP, Twitter for now. We'll see.
Maybe on the Instagram? No, probably
not. Yeah, you can find me on Instagram. That's more, that probably has more longevity.
Hive Social?
Mm-mm.
I know they need to set up a desktop version that I might put. Anyway, Fightful Overbook, we drop stuff every single day. Go and watch the stuff. We got Strong Style coming back this week. I'm excited. Newsworthy dropped a new episode this past Saturday. Jeremy and I talking about Colt Cabana almost dying, talking about our favorite McDonald's orders because Genghis Khan never tried McDonald's Sprite, and a whole whack of other shit. Chris Jericho and the Paranormal. It was a weird episode, but it was really funny. Go watch that. And of course, Tim and I are here every Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern, at least for now, because 10 a.m. is, God, why are we doing this to ourselves?
I don't know.
We'll talk about it later. Yeah. Oh, my God. I am at Joel Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-A-R-L, ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary. We'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.